You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, Nick.
I don't like this. I don't like this at all. And I want to be clear about that.
I can see you.
Guys, so if what we're doing right now is we were recording a cold open over video. We're playing around with this because, coming up, not now, you have a little while, right? You have a little while, but coming up, we're going to be taking it. What are we doing? Are we doing this visually?
Oh, we're elevating.
I see. That's what he says. I feel
something,
like
something, something Nike, something. We're, yeah.
Nope.
Pushing it to the limit.
It's so
weird seeing you like in your, how you talk.
Yeah.
Once you stop going from casual to performative, you like get up on the microphone and you're like,
That's right. You want to give them, it's like coffee talk,
Coffee talk.
apparently we're going to add a video element or, go on TikTok or some shit. I don't know what the fuck we're doing.
Exclusive TikTok.
Can you imagine this goddamn podcast on TikTok? How would that work? What would we do?
20 minutes of movie talks and then sea shanties. This is what I think TikTok is. This is all I know of TikTok is people like to sing sea shanties.
Just singing sea shanties. I think that's precisely what we do is sing I can't even say that word. Sea shanties. Sea shanties. It's also funny because our guest today, her name also starts with a sea shanty.
Shasha would be great at sea shanties.
Shasha was great. This is the first time we're recording our cold open in the future.
Right. So this is in the future. So we recorded this with her a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I think 2 or 3 days after Biden was elected, which we referenced, and we're like, you know what? We need to be more timely with this. We need people need to,
the people need to know. And she came on and she was great. She was so great that we made it into a two-parter. So this is the first of two parts with our dear Sasha Hutchings. I would prep you for the episode. The only thing I would really say is just know that like when she came on, she was already at a 10. So we literally just started recording. Like we didn't, there was no prep. There was no like get into it. It was just
this
like,
this is
going to
be the weirdest transition we've ever had from this to the
weird song
to like mid conversation.
Yeah. Just know that we're not there. Yeah. There's no prep for this. We're just going to go straight into it. As soon as the song's over, you're going to hear a lot of laughing and bullshit. And I mean, I'm not sorry. But this is like the new little Nike Justice. So,
little
Nikes.
So, all right. Like what?
That's it.
That's somehow that's it. Little justice. Fuck yeah.
This is pointless. Like we've already been talking for like 20 minutes. There's no point. Like, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Little Justice. I just want to be clear. Like, we were talking for a good 10 minutes before we started rolling.
Some really
this.
Good content too.
Some great content. You know,
no, it was just The West Wing. It was just talking about The West Wing again. Like,
which is
every
great
single episode gets back to some episode of The West Wing.
Why don't
West
you shut
Wing,
the fuck?
The Jackal.
Yeah. The Jackal. The
okay,
Jackal.
So the Jackal's a song.
On the West Wing.
When is it's a West song Wing. That it's what it, CJ lip syncs to the Jackal when
yes,
they have a victory.
Does.
And I was asking this question, what is the victory? I can't remember what they have just achieved.
Do I need to look it up? I think I need to look it up. Hang on.
That's what
do
I was trying to do. Know? And then all of a sudden I wasn't a part of the podcast anymore.
Yeah, you Sasha disappeared. By the way, our guest today, we haven't even introduced her. It's Sasha Hutchings. Is our guest today.
AKA the Jackal.
AKA the Jackal. She's here. Welcome to chaos. Welcome to pure and utter chaos. I'm on westwing.fandom.com.
Great.
And they are saying CJ is persuaded by her coworkers to perform the song. The Jackal, but they don't give the context. They just say that she did it. This is
what's
guys,
like a normal West Wing thing that could happen. They win like a lawsuit.
No, a lawsuit.
A bill gets passed. I don't know.
It would be a bill.
I've seen like 4 episodes of the West Wing.
It was either a bill or it was it that they put somebody on the bench. It wasn't.
It was, yes.
Maybe
I think
was it Mendoza? Was on
it might have been Mendoza.
Bench?
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was Mendoza that he got.
Because I feel like Toby's really happy and like he's like weirding everyone out during that episode. God,
yes. I'm reading this now. Show. It's well, you know who's not is Alex, and that's the prop.
Two favorite shows in the world. I have really no idea what you're ever talking about in regards to
what's the West Wing.
Like I've seen like bits and pieces of both of them. I get the general idea, but like almost every day you probably watch an episode of one of those two shows.
Oh, Alex, give your synopsis of The Wire and The West Wing.
through my eyes.
That's through Nick's eyes. Well, so The Wire to me, I didn't realize, but Nick, you were explaining it last time, actually, like every season examines a different facet of like life in Baltimore.
Working class life, correct.
Is that correct?
That is
correct. Like an up close examination of the different aspects of life in like urban Baltimore.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's not just a cop show then, right? Like
it's like a domestic I was gonna say excavation, it's like an archaeology. I mean truly it's a journal. It's like you're reading the newspaper, but it's live. It's live.
But chaos, like The Wire chaos, itself chaos. Refers to the wire they wear, right? Like the wire that they have set up, which is a cop show thing.
You can't just start screaming chaos into your microphone.
Oh, Sasha, yes, you don't even know.
Chaos. Oh, God. Like, what's happening?
The best part is, guys, that Sasha, we didn't prep Sasha in any way.
Not at all.
We literally said, pick a movie and come on. And, like, that's just what's going to happen.
We'll just see what happens.
You were like, if you have any questions, let us know. And I was like, but I have no context for questions. Like I haven't even been given enough information to ask another question.
You didn't get the spreadsheet?
Yeah, you didn't. Did we not send you the contract?
Shit.
What's the
chaos.
Chaos. It's perfect. No, but it's The Wire. That is an accurate representation of The Wire, Alex. Now The West Wing. What do you think
The West Wing is?
What is it?
Aaron Sorkin, you know, needs some alone time.
Aaron Sorkin needs some alone time.
It's just him hanging out. It's just Aaron Sorkin.
It's like Aaron Sorkin's like imagining of what politics is actually like. We talked about this a little bit when we did our politics episode.
Yes, we did.
When I watched Dave for it, because like in light of the last 4 years, it's completely like shined light on how not organized it actually all is.
Yes.
And how like usually you think that everybody behind the scenes is like hyper intelligent, everybody is like a Harvard law PhD, like, you know, executing these 5D chess moves or whatever, and then you realize like a lot of people back there not the brightest. So like shows like The West Wing, especially Aaron Sorkin, who has this penchant for like emotionally driving everything up, like you remember The Newsroom.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
After like they killed Bin Laden, maybe was the plot point, oh, and they got up on the plane and announced it with the music playing, like, "Ladies and gentlemen, we got," like, he just like blows these things way out of proportions. Like, is it that exciting?
Out of proportion, and we say just right,
into perfect,
hitting the perfect balance. Yeah. The perfect balance. It's so funny because I think that he truly does. You know, yes, he does emotionally charged moments. I would say on The West Wing, however, I think, and Sasha, tell me what you think about this. I would say that the genius of the show is that it doesn't like it really isn't like. Exciting beyond like, except for like maybe the season finales, which always get way out of hand, but like like they are truly, that is when you'll have a plot that's like actually ridiculous.
Yeah, you're right.
It's ridiculous.
Love that. Yeah, it is kind of ridiculous. It got a little more ridiculous. I'll tell you where it went off the rails for me a little bit. And being on my maybe fourth pass through this series, I've really nailed it down to when the first daughter gets kidnapped. I'm really not a fan of a kidnapping. And I really think that it brings me to Scandal when Olivia Pope was kidnapped. And I just have yet to see a believable kidnapping.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the first daughter.
Played by Elizabeth Moss. Elizabeth Moss.
Played by Elizabeth Moss. Yeah. Elizabeth she gets Moss. Kidnapped from her graduation party.
Now, Sasha, sorry to interrupt, but please, if you're going to talk about the story, you need to talk about her French boyfriend.
I was just kidding.
Because
was he in on it?
Well, Sasha, go ahead.
Sort of. He wasn't trying to get her kidnapped. You know, guys are never trying to ruin your life.
Stop it.
So like he's the reason that she gets put into a position where she can get kidnapped.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that blame should fall squarely on Secret Service at that point. Like a French boyfriend should never be in a position in the first place to
if they're too close, then she won't trust them, then she'll be trying to dodge. They have to give her a perimeter, you know. Their job is to secure the perimeter.
And when your Secret Service is played by Taye Diggs, that's when you really know that it's not gonna really work out. Do you know what I mean?
Getting flashbacks of like First Kid with Sinbad right now.
That's precisely what this should feel like, because
like,
that is the pocket.
I want to go to the mall, but Secret Service won't let me. I'm going to slip them.
Alex, go ahead. Sasha, say it.
Okay. But like the first, like Taye Diggs is her Secret Service. Like he's the head of her Secret Service.
He is it. He's all she has.
But he's also like, you get introduced to him and the first thing that happens is another blonde woman like body slams him to prove that she is like capable of defending the first daughter.
Yes.
So like it's not only this beautiful short chocolate man, Taye Diggs, but he also gets body slammed by this blonde woman like within the first
just
like
completely
few
put in his place. So you know from the get-go, like he
You're
is
like,
probably
okay.
not the one to be. And then he lets the first daughter get kidnapped. Can you imagine if any time in American history, the child of the president was who kidnapped him? Was it like an international intrigue kind of thing?
It was extremists. Yeah. There were some extremists.
Extremists. They never really give you like a whole thing. It becomes a big like to do as you know, I guess it would. But it
guess?
Just,
you,
I guess.
Like
it
imagine
is.
If. Imagine if Antifa grabbed Don Jr. Like, what would happen, you know?
I really think, let me tell you, I'm going to bet dollars
actually,
to cents
that
happened. I think it happened.
Antifa grabbing Don Jr.
Don Jr.
Antifa
and he
got
loved
together,
it.
Made a decision to grab Don Jr.
Yeah.
He said,
him back at HQ now.
I will willingly go. But it was, you know, Taye Diggs. And then the best part, Alex, is Taye Diggs, once we get to season 5, never heard from again.
Never seen again.
Yeah, fired.
Never seen again. Fired.
Yeah, as though, he's definitely fired.
He's been let go. He's been let go from the show.
He's been let go from law enforcement, period.
But Sasha, this is actually interesting because, you know, this was also the last episode that Aaron Sorkin ever wrote of The West Wing, right? So like, because I get the feeling that this was like the biggest middle finger to the West.
Yeah, I was gonna say the kidnapping was his last episode that he wrote.
That he wrote he was gone for season 5.
Oh, so it was like you guys stole this show from me kind of. Is he the daughter?
He's
Does
like
he see
I'm
himself?
Gonna set you guys up for failure.
I think he literally said, "Write yourself out of this one, you fuck faces." Do you know what I mean?
That's
I literally think he was like, "I'm gonna give you like an impossible situation and now good luck maintaining the show."
Yeah,
I kind of love that.
And that's what happened, because season 5 is trash. They are in full
it really is
because Sorkin jumped the shark for them.
He
took the boat, jumped the shark, and then swam away
and it all comes back to Rob Lowe. That is the little known secret. I'm not even joking. It legitimately let's make this a full West Wing podcast right now. Some West Wing tea for you guys. West Wing gossip.
Yeah.
Gossips. So here's what I heard.
from the sources.
And someone had told me.
And I'll tell you who told me. I was in Milwaukee doing the show that shall not be named about the rapping founding fathers. And there was a me and my buddy Fergie saw that at the Jewish Community Center in town, Rob Reiner and Aaron Sorkin would be speaking. And so we went and this was what was alluded to. What was alluded to was that there was an actor on contract, Rob Lowe, who had an understanding from the beginning that and if I'm wrong, please someone correct me. I'm just telling you what I heard, but that Rob Lowe was not the easiest to work with on set, that there was a lot of tension surrounding Rob Lowe, that it came down to that Aaron Sorkin had gotten to a position where he was like, look, I don't want to work with this guy anymore. So you're either going to make a choice between Rob Lowe or me. And he apparently comes into work the next day and like they call him in for a meeting and they just were like, Aaron, we are so thankful for the 4 years you've given us. Like it really has been magical. Like he truly thought that they were going to, it's Aaron Sorkin. Why would you not choose Sorkin? But they chose Rob Lowe. And what's amazing about that is Rob Lowe did not stay.
He left.
Rob Lowe bounced.
Oh, really?
So you lose Sorkin.
At the same time, or did they get an extra season out of him?
At the same time. So you lose Sorkin and Rob Lowe in one fell swoop.
That's really funny. I mean, at that point, though, Sorkin, you know, he was probably important, but not like a public figure. Like, if you're trying to sell a fifth season of a show and you lose your big star, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, yes. But you feel it. You feel it. You feel it after that.
Oh, you feel it. For sure.
You always feel it.
And in retrospect... Yeah, you know, you look back and yeah.
Well, but
they were just trying to get renewed for another season, you know, and without Rob Lowe, they probably wouldn't have done that.
Even then, you knew because Sorkin's scripts were just, I mean, when you get a chance to watch this, Alex, it's like what The Newsroom should have been for its whole run. Like, it really is just a special show. And
I like The Newsroom a lot.
Yeah, the difference in once Sorkin leaves, like, it takes them a truly whole season to find their feet. Now, once they find their footing, once we get into the Matt Santos of it all, Sasha, now we're back in play. Now we're
Matt
going
Santos
green.
Is great. Yeah, Matt Santos. You really, once they're in the end, the final stretch is a strong one.
Yeah, it's a strong one.
I don't know that I wanted, like, after, you know, as the show ended, I didn't necessarily want to West Wing it with President Santos. I wasn't
Did
really.
Did you not?
I didn't. I didn't. Yeah, no.
Interesting. Matt Santos, Alex, played by the great Jimmy Smits. Just to give you some
my
aesthetic.
My mom loves Jimmy Smits.
I love Jimmy. Yeah. My mom. Everyone's mom loves Jimmy Smits.
Yeah. He was like, one year, like he's like her thing that she loves. So one year we got a picture of Jimmy Smits and we framed it and we stuck it on top of the Christmas tree where the star should go.
Oh my God, that's really cute.
Our Christmas star, Jimmy Smits.
I'm going to do that every year. But Sasha, I'm sorry I cut you off.
No. I just you were saying as it ended that you were willing to explore a Santos presidency.
I would have loved to see what that, like, because they set it up really well. I'm not ruining anything for Alex, but his cabinet is great. He got a great crew. He got a great staff there. I would love to see what happens with that staff going forward. You know, I think they got enough to bump heads and be their asshole selves and whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, interesting, you know, interesting. The Santos presidency. I mean, let me ask you this, Sasha, cause so Alex Santos is very much the Obama of the West Wing world. Sasha, who comes after Matt Santos? Is it Hoynes? Is Hoynes the Trump of the West Wing world? Do we get eight years of Santos?
Hoynes? No, I think it's that guy, the president who had the dog, the one who took
shit,
over the,
yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
took
I know
over the
about.
Office when he had to because his daughter was kidnapped.
Oh, yep, his
daughter. So
John
had
Goodman.
To,
yeah, it's John
yeah,
Goodman.
John Goodman. John Goodman played, I forget the name of the senator or the, no, he played the.
It was like the secretary.
Speaker of the House.
Speaker of the
right?
House, yeah.
Because he was third in line because Hoynes had screwed up. We're just going, this is just a rabbit hole.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the West Wing podcast.
The West Wing Weekly.
Next week.
And it's not even West Wing Weekly. It's just Nick and Sasha remember the West Wing.
That's
like, it's just not even.
Which really is like in this show anyway. Like basically anytime Nick gets a microphone, it
we just talk.
It's
all becomes
the West Wing.
What, let me ask you, Alex, what else is there to fucking talk about? Do you know what I mean? Like, what else is there?
Like, let's just find you a new, just a show. You only have to watch it one time. I know you like to watch, you need to watch
I whole tried shows.
Series 7 to 10 times to fully appreciate that.
I've tried.
You've Sasha, tried shows.
Now, Sasha, you tried Bridgerton. My wife loves Bridgerton.
Oh, I went. I was in it. I didn't just try it. I finished the meal. Yeah.
You ate the, you licked the plate.
I finished the plate. I won't say that I licked it. I left a crumb or two.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Left a crumb.
Listen,
out there.
It was like, it was really pretty. The actor who plays the guy, I can't even remember the names. Honestly, it was very
the
pretty.
Duke.
And
the Duke.
The Duke. Yes, the yeah. Duke is hot. Like, just, it's really ridiculous. And he's hot in a way that, like, I was like, wow, he's really attractive. And then I, like, had a little rebellious moment where I was like, I'm not going to do this. Like, I'm not just going to sit here and swoon over this guy. And then, like, by episode 3, I was like, yes, you are. Like, just do it. Just have fun with it. Like, he's, that's what he's
you have
here
to, like,
for.
Allow yourself to enjoy it.
This here. Is what he's here for. Like, it's, but it was really fun. I will say, towards the end, and specifically the final episode, like the series finale, or not series, season finale, I just felt like it was every example of the most toxic, like, codependency you can have with a significant other
this.
As
Could
a
you,
woman.
Yeah, get more into this. I've actually heard that's a popular opinion on this, that, like, it really was just not
yeah,
a healthy
so,
thing.
The Duke has had a troubled childhood. Very interesting in that this is Queen Charlotte's England. So, and Queen Charlotte is black, and it's as though she has sort of given titles to some prominent black families. And so you have the Duke, you have Lady there's another black lady in the movie and or the series. So you have these, like, affluent black people, but the Duke has had a troubled childhood. His mother died giving birth to him. His father was estranged, and he had a stutter, and his father was ashamed of him. He's, like, sworn that he would never have children to spite his father. And so he marries. He says he's never going to marry because he can never have children, but there's a whole lot of drama. I won't go through all of it.
Okay.
He ends up married to this white woman, obviously. And
As you do.
And she is very naive, and it's very interesting the way they show these young ladies who really have, like, no idea how sex works, how procreation works. And her mother just sort of throws her to the wolves and is just like, have fun in marriage, okay, and does not explain how sex works, does not explain Damn. How pregnancy works. So she's in this marriage just trying to very much embrace, you know, what her role in society is. She's sort of an example of a woman who, it's not that she's really fighting against, you know, being put out on a meat market to as a potential
market.
Wife. I mean, like, she's being, you know, it's the season. Like, it's the season to be married. She's some well-seasoned meat.
It's ready meat to season.
Be bought. It's meat season where you meet someone and marry him.
No.
And
show probably wouldn't have done as well with that title, though.
that's
it's
the next
meat time. Season.
Yo, have you seen Meat Season?
That's what it should be called.
The drama meat. Is so dynamic.
Ellen, you ready season. To go meeting? Just really crazy.
Oh my God.
The first episode is just called Medium Rare.
And the last episode is well done.
Well done. Yeah, exactly.
Well done.
This is
well
fucking
done,
trash. Continue talking, Sasha. I'm so sorry.
So she's just embraced all of this. And so she takes it upon herself to make this marriage work. But because this man has had this troubled childhood and this terrible, you know, idea of his relationship with his father and his idea of who he could be, he is, like, classically, like, has no idea how to navigate through it emotionally, no idea how to, like, you know, nothing he's doing is making sense. They're not having the arguments or even the conversations or fights that they should be having, just trying to work this out. No one knows how to talk to each other. And then it just sort of, like, falls into this, like, false romanticism that we're very used to seeing from that period of, like, what it was like for people to meet and get married. But, you know, as a woman, I'm like, oh my God, like, this is so terrible. She's trying to solve the problem of this marriage. They end up almost estranged, on like the brink of estrangement, because she realizes that he's lying to her about how he can't have children, or the difference between can't and won't have children. And he's sort of like lied to her, but he, you know, is like, well, I didn't know you didn't know. Like, I wasn't responsible for teaching you the birds and the bees. And so they're going to live separately. And she has this conversation with her mother finally, where she's, you know, told her, you haven't prepared me for anything. And I think we're going to separate at the end of this season, the meeting season.
The meat season.
The meat season. And her mother gives her this pep talk that's basically like, your father and I loved each other very much, but it wasn't perfect. We had hard times, but we made it work because we chose each other. And the daughter says to her, I am trying, which you have seen her trying. You've seen her put forth the effort. You've seen her put up with this like very broody man. And she's putting forth the effort. And the mother says, you're a Bridgerton. You can do anything. And Yo was just like, for me, that was my moment of just, no.
But is this, can I ask you, is this speech given in a context where we are supposed to root for what the mother is saying? Or we understand that the mother is pushing her into a very bad relationship.
No, you're supposed to root for her, oh, the mother, no, and what she's, no, saying. No. Because what then happens is basically she goes to the husband. Everyone leaves the party. There's like some dancing in the rain, you know. And then she says to him, I love you. I know you don't think you're worthy of love. I know you don't think you can do this, but I do, and I blah, and I love you, and I love us, and I want to do this. And then she leaves. Like, she gives the speech that's just like, I know you're an emotionally unavailable, terrible, like terribly depressed human who doesn't know how to find his way out of this, but I can love you out of it, and I'll do it. And you're just like, no, sis, you can't. It's impossible.
And that's the beat they leave it on. Like, yeah. And then,
well, no, it works out. He comes around, and they live happily ever after, or at least, you know, happily to the end of the season. It's a lie.
So the show is a lie. So I just want,
yeah,
to,
but it's,
I
a pretty one. Yeah, but it's a pretty one with a really hot guy.
That's so, what I thought it was. Like, what's the age range here? Because I was looking at it like, okay, this is just like for like late teen kind of thing. Like,
it's definitely a late teen. Piece. Like, it's definitely a sexy period piece. But I am a woman in her 30s, and my mother is a woman in her 60s. And let me tell you, the whole house was watching it.
Okay. Let me tell you a little. I want to tell you, you know, now I've not watched the meat season, but I want to tell you a little story about. I've not been to the butcher shop recently, but I want to
go. They've got some good meats.
They've got. I hear they got some good meats. I was talking to me and Sarah were FaceTiming my mother, and she had just watched Bridgerton, and was so excited about the episode where I guess he teaches her to masturbate. Loved that. And now I have never heard my mother use the word masturbate.
How was that for you?
It was, well, for both me and Sarah, I think we just kind of looked at each other like, this is not what we want. We don't want this.
There's a lot of sex. There's a lot of sex in the series. And I would say, my sister decided pretty on that we were no longer going to watch it with my mother.
Great.
I think it was about two and a half episodes in. She was like, we can't do this.
Yeah. My wife and I have this nice comfort zone with stuff like that, where like we like we'll go as far as Downton Abbey, right? That's like our
that's the threshold.
Like, they get into it, but they don't really get into it. And like, it's not really that. It's more about watching watching these people in this like kind of pristine time. And we just finished Anne with an E, which had the same kind of thing, where it's like they get right up to talking about these important things and showing you like breaking through what you think that period was like and showing you real human stuff, but not actually like, it's not like gratuitous sex scenes. It's not like going overboard. So
it's like, at one point the script did go there. At one point they had a very real conversation, and then in some stage of editing or rewrites, they were like, we can't. Just, can you make this palatable?
It's not worth it.
Can you make this network palatable and move on? So, you know, and it's a Shonda Rhimes show. There's some salt in there. There's some salted meat in there. But
salt
at
and
the
meat.
Very
salt and meat. You know,
but
that's how they used to package it on the ships.
Yeah, yeah. It's
this metaphor's gone off the rails.
No, we are exactly
trying to keep it aligned in my head.
There's
getting some really disturbing images in my head.
can I tell you when we knew
the meat is the people and they're salted, then what are we talking about?
Yeah,
exactly what we're supposed to be talking about. And
chaos movies is what we're supposed to be talking about.
No, we are. This is when we were like, oh, we should get Sasha on here. I knew from the very beginning that this would be a two-parter. I knew that we would not get to the topic for quite some time. So I'm happy to just, like you say, we're off the rails. Let's let it ride. Do you know what I mean?
Let it ride.
Let's
next
see where
stop,
we land.
Meat town.
Meat town.
Guy Fieri lives there.
Guy Fieri loves it in Meat Town.
Google Meats.
Postmates. So one thing, so it's so interesting to hear you talk about this, Sasha. Like, Alex, what is your Bridgerton? Like this, you know, like what
well,
is
that's what I'm saying is right now it's Anne with an E, man. We just finished.
So that's it for you.
It's three seasons of Anne from Green Gables, but like. I was hesitant going in. I was like, it's like, okay, it's made for a slightly younger audience. It's like, whatever. But they really, the production value on the show is unbelievable. The way it's shot, the performances, everything. There's one of the main guy, like the kind of boyfriend character through it is terrible. But everybody else is, not only are the performances good, but the characters, like, there's a lot of dynamic. They deal with a lot of stuff, like childhood trauma and abuse and
Green Gables?
And
wow.
Anne of Green Gables. Yeah, it's like,
wow.
Because she's like an abused orphan, right? Who doesn't know where she comes from. She's like the most positive person in the world. She's always talking about her imagination and all this stuff.
Oh, shit.
But she's got PTSD straight up and comes into this family who doesn't really want her. They like, and I think that's the real book too. They like, they send for an orphan boy to help on their farm, Green Gables, and they get her instead. And so the first few episodes are them just weighing whether they want her or not. So she's come, she's like this bright presence, right? She sees the magic and everything, but she's also severely traumatized. And it balances this. And over the course of three seasons, it engages, with homosexuality. It engages with politics. It engages with, like a woman's place in the hierarchy and with the native people and with, it covers basically everything, but it never feels like they're trying too hard. Like they keep it really, like ground. The drama feels natural. It's surprisingly good. And then they canceled it because the Canadian production company that was making it didn't like the deal Netflix was making with them. They said Netflix basically like took too much money or didn't give enough money for what the production was. So they canceled it.
Damn.
But well, Anne with an E, so good.
Anne
with an E. All right. It sounds like a thing I'd get into, honestly. Yeah.
And it's easy. Like everybody can watch it. Like there's not sex scenes. There's not too much violence. Like it gets just dark enough, but never really. Like it's pretty accessible. So
it's right.
That's
there.
What I really like. My sister asked me, we were talking about shows, and I really don't like dark shows, and I don't get into like horror movies. I really don't get into thrillers. And my sister was like, wait, The West Wing is upbeat? And I was like, are you kidding me?
Are you?
Yes, it is.
Me.
Yeah, it is. I'm finding I don't want dark these days, like after the last few years. Like we tried to watch Snowpiercer. They made a TV show based on the movie Snowpiercer about like warfare on a post-apocalyptic train where it's like there's so much just like murder and metaphor for like, you know, the global economic disparity, whatever. And after the end of the first episode, like this just, we don't feel good right now.
Damn.
Right. We want to settle in with a glass of wine and binge three or four episodes of something that makes you like feel good for watching it.
Now, see, you two say this. Meanwhile, I'm on my fourth watch of Mindhunter. So I
need to get
loving,
through it. I like, well, those performances, man, that one Ed Kemper.
Oh my God, yeah.
On that show. I remember, I haven't watched the series all the way through, but I remember watching the first two or three episodes and thinking that guy's great.
But see, this is my, I mean, I think, and look, people go back and forth. We all need what we need in these moments, and that's real because as I have said several times, we are living in active trauma. What can we do to protect ourselves? You know, secure your perimeter, all this shit. So you can, whatever you need to watch to do that, watch it. Maybe I'm crazy. I find that shit cathartic. I am crazy, but I find that shit cathartic. Like that's why, honestly, Alex, when we started this pandemic, Sasha, we did an episode on horror movies. I chose Hereditary. It was the worst movie to watch at 2 a.m. Now, Sasha, have you seen Hereditary? Have you seen
No, never.
Good. It's truly, spoiler alert. Everyone, if you don't want to hear spoilers, don't listen to this. The one of the last shots of this, just to put it in context, is Toni Collette, brilliant actress, sawing off her own head with piano wire. That is where we're at in Hereditary.
Oh my God.
It's brutal, but it's brilliant.
In front of her son
while her son is getting possessed by the devil. It's a whole thing. But
it's poetic.
It is very poetic. It's actually about trauma. But that shit is so, like, I hated horror movies starting this pandemic. Now I fucking love them. I cannot get enough of them. I don't know what that is. Like, maybe I've truly snapped, guys. But, like, I love a good horror movie right now. I'm watching The Ripper. I hate true crime. I hate that shit. But I'm watching The Ripper right now, y'all. The Ripper.
Interesting. I wonder what that is. Like, I would like to see the numbers for the last year about genre and what people are really sticking to.
It's so true.
You know, what we need. Because usually, like, what comes out is a product of where we're at, right? Like, and horror movies especially tend to reflect that, right? Our cultural fears and all of that. So I'm curious about what people are watching, have been watching, and I'm curious about what comes out in the next year, 2 years, 3 years to, like, get at people, right? And get under people's skin. I don't know.
Sasha, if they do a Bridgerton spinoff in America, you gonna be on that show?
Yeah.
You're
for sure.
That's like
what you need to know about me is that I'm pretty sure I was supposed to be born into royalty.
Oh my God.
So
let's talk about that. Let's break that down.
I really feel like I was meant to be born into some sort of wealth and position and royalty in society.
What are you doing with this position and wealth? Like, what is your...
Oh, nothing. I'm worthless. I just eat and drink and socialize, honestly. Like, I don't have any grand... Like, there's no dreams of, like, you know, what mark I make on society. I am one of the basic bitches on the meat market.
You're just...
That's a dream.
That is... I mean, that is one dream.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. If you, like... If you are a Bridgerton character,
who are
you the Duke? Are you, like, who are you, Sasha? Do you mean?
Ooh, I would love the Duke. That's interesting now.
See?
Who am I? You know, I'm Lady, I believe her name's Lady Danbury. I need to look it up. She's like the black woman who has raised the Duke in the absence of his mother and also the chosen absence of his father. Okay. So she sort of coached him through his stuttering. She helped him through his schooling. She's the person who's just had his back, looked out for him. He is, you know, her son, like her son, and she is like a mother figure to him. What I love about her character is she is very well to do. Obviously, she's high up in society, and she hosts this women's sort of club, and she does invite the Duke's. She invites Daphne, the wife, the woman, Daphne Bridgerton, the pearl of the season. She invites her to this party, and Daphne thinks she's going to a tea party, and she walks in and these women are drinking and playing and gambling and talking, you know, sort of doing, she sort of hosts their side of society, which I do think would be probably something I would do. I would have the sort of women's club, if you will, that was thought to be tea time, but was really just us getting drunk and manipulating the men of the society.
Now let's even extrapolate from this, because Sasha, so Alex, one of the first things that I want listeners to understand about Sasha is this is actually a theme that I've noticed with Sasha. Mm-hmm. Is the covert, I'm trying to think how to describe. So in context, one of the first things that that me and Sasha ever talked about as our friendship budded was a show called Chaos. We talked about having a show called Chaos. And Sasha, what would happen in the plot of that show?
Chaos is billed and advertised as my 54 Below debut solo show in New York City.
Yeah.
Every chorus girl does one, and it would be mine.
Shut up.
You are not on Broadway. You are not a Broadway dame until you have held your own 54 Below, Joe's Pub, you know, show.
Loose lip sync ships.
That's one of the warm-ups you do before your show.
That's right. That's
every right. chorus girl does them. It would be billed as that. We do, you know, a nice little photo shoot for the gram. We do a little promos, maybe some flyers to pass around your theater. Yeah. And a couple of maybe now, you know, I do like an Insta Live convo about it, you know, just really hype it up. And people would come to the show. We'd be totally sold out. People would come to the show. And, you know, as the show begins, the lights would go off. And then you would just hear the door slam and lock.
Slam shut. And what happens?
Slam shut and lock.
What happens? What happens after that?
Chaos.
Chaos.
Well, absolute that's like a fire hazard. Chaos. I'm going to tell you. It's told. Yes. It is a fire hazard. Let me tell you what doesn't happen. A concert.
That's precisely not what's going to happen.
Not going to happen is a solo concert.
I remember you saying there was darkness. There's a lot, like no lights.
No lights. Cuts off. Lights cut off.
Yeah.
Water guns. You get soaked. Super soakers. You don't know where they're coming from. You don't know. Some are filled with water. Some are filled with like Nickelodeon slime. There may be some silly string. Yes. And then as the lights come up, confetti glitter pops off. And I'm just on stage saying welcome as if nothing has happened.
Yeah. So welcome you tar everyone. And feather the you tar and feather the audience with glitter.
Listen, I would never tar and feather.
And glitter.
Tarring and feathering is an act of racial aggression, and I would never participate in that. But I will put a sticky substance on a person and then cover them with glitter. Yeah. It's totally different.
So here you are in the theater. They thought they were coming. It's sold out, first of all.
Yeah.
It's sold out.
First performance sold out. After it's all over, you need to keep up the mystique. How do you keep them from getting on their phones and telling everybody, like, you're about to get glitter bombed?
Right. It's a one night only.
It's a one night only event.
This is one night only.
It's one night only and or the next night is actually a concert.
Or better yet.
You just don't know what you're going to get on a given night.
I even got you one better. You
show up in your raincoat and there's a concert.
Yeah. Everyone comes the next day ready to get slimed. And I'm like,
yeah.
Just... Sasha, what's
Don't tell me not to leave.
Sasha, what? This is my question. This is actually my question. What is your set list? What are you singing? What are you singing for this?
I'm singing "Angel of Mine."
Okay, if I hear one dun 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 dun, dun, dun I'm going
dun 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 dun. That's just gonna play throughout.
I love it.
It's gonna be the intro to every song.
Every song.
Yeah,
that's great. That's great. Mm-hmm. I love that.
I'm singing the chicken dance. Right.
Did we all clap? I clapped.
Yeah. I snapped. Chaos.
Chaos. Well, that's really wonderful, Sasha. I'm really glad that you have that in your back pocket. I'm really glad that you can lean on that. Because, you know, look, times are tough. Do you know what I mean? Like, and we're going to really need to innovate.
Yeah.
In the new era of Broadway. So I think that's
when really people
great.
Aren't gonna pay $200 for a lie anymore.
For a lie. Alex,
I remember being like 4 or 5 and my dad took me to see Blue Man Group, and the experience I had sounds very similar.
Wait, you know, they're already
being
doing
a little
this?
Child.
Oh, you know.
They drop like toilet paper from the ceiling.
Yes, they do.
It's not this, but like to a little kid, this is what it feels like.
Sasha, I didn't want to ruin this for you, but there was a ride. This will bring it back to something Alex knows about. There was a ride called Alien Extraterrestrial Encounter at Disneyland or Disney World. And I'm gonna describe what this ride is to you so that you can understand that you've actually stolen their ride. You go into an auditorium And the idea is, you know, it's like you're on an alien planet and they're going to introduce you to like a new, like the, a new technology they have, teleportation technology. And you sit in these chairs and they're going to, and the president of the company is going to teleport in from space and come talk to you. And it's the first time anybody's ever teleported a live animal ever. What ends up happening is that in the teleportation, they actually don't hone in on the president's signal. They hone in on that of like a giant wigged devil creature. And So when the smoke clears in this, in the teleportation cylinder is this creature. He's staring at you. All of a sudden there's a huge crash, glass shatters everywhere, lights go out, and your next, I'd say 10 minutes are just like, you are literally strapped to these seats. Nothing like you don't move anywhere, but these things happen. You feel the creature breathing on your neck.
I've totally been in this ride. I've totally done this.
Yeah, it's
maybe that's where that's where the idea came from.
It came from this. Yeah.
It embedded itself in your psyche.
It came from going to theme park rides where they turn off the lights and give you a bunch of sensations in the seats.
That's what you want.
They also do that at A Bug's Life at Animal Kingdom.
They absolutely do that at A Bug's Life in Animal Kingdom. They also do that. It's now the ride is called Lilo and Stitch's Great Escape. No longer. It's now gone. But he burps hot dog in your face. It's not fun. It's not a good ride. It's not a good
ride. Does it smell like hot dog?
It smells like hot dog. It's really not a good ride. It's not cool. It's not cool. it's the worst ride on property, and I'm glad it's gone. You hear me? I'm glad. But Sasha, that's I can't wait. I think people are really going to be excited for your show. I think this is a really great thing.
It's going to be great. Now that I've got that hot dog smell, that takes it to a next level. I got to get some smells in the show.
You have to. Now, guys, I want to point out, we are at about the 45-minute mark, and we have yet to talk about anything having to do with movies. So here's what I'm going to say. This is where we will stop this episode. We're stopping it now. It's done. Okay? And we're going to pick up...
Hot dogs.
Hot dogs.
Hot dogs, hot dogs, hot dogs. That's the marker.
Little justice.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.